Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. Today, we're going to continue on the conversation that we started the other day. Before we dive super in, Kim, do you have any thoughts about it or where we're going today?
No, I'm ready to dive in.
Let's do it. So one of the things that we shared or talked about was just physical things that we've both gone through. So I talked about some anxiety stuff that I've dealt with. Kim talked about some hive body rash stuff that she's dealing with now. I don't know if rash is the right word.
No, that's right. It sounds very appealing.
But like both of us dealing, like just the idea of like your body telling you, hey, this is what I'm feeling. What are you going to do about it? That's sort of the way I look at it. And this is so we were talking, you know, before about how, like, I remember the very first day that I felt anxiety in a way that altered my life, my ability to live life. And we had recorded a podcast. Like, we sat down to record a podcast and we were praying, engaging the Father beforehand. And I told Kim, I was like, I just feel like I'm sitting on like a saucer that's spinning around. And Kim was just like, well, what would happen if you didn't fight it? Like, what would happen if you just let it spin, or like let yourself be like move through the spinning? Or I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but basically quit fighting it, or what would happen if you quit fighting it. And I told her, I was like, you know, in the moment, I don't know that I had capacity. I don't know that I knew what that meant. And it took months and months and months and months for me to learn what it meant to not fight it. Because there was part of me that was like, this isn't supposed to happen. It's not what life's supposed to be like. And so I was fighting against moving through the process. And sometimes, well, we talked about this, but like sometimes to move through the process, you gotta look at it. You gotta look at what's really going on. You gotta look at what's really speaking from your body. And you know, is it hope that net was never realized? Is it fear of something? Is it anger? Like, are you mad? Are you mad at yourself? Are you mad at God? Are you mad at another person? Like, what's, you know, really just sitting down and taking a good look at what's going on. It's a big part of healing, I think. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think we've talked about this a lot. Awareness is so much a part of a solution to pretty much anything. Like, if there's a problem and you're unaware of it, it's nearly impossible to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think with this as well, there's some of that as well. But I also go back to this concept of kind of not knowing what's going on. And I think that is a scary thing. And I understand why you didn't know how to, or didn't know if you wanted to kind of let go and subject yourself to the spinning, because who knows what's going to happen, right? Yeah. I mean, in that instance, this was amid prayer and we were consulting with the Lord about this, and it was fairly inspired. That wasn't Kim advice, I don't think. You know, I think that was just me kind of letting you know what I was experiencing there. But I also know that it can be scary to let go and like go into the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I don't know I don't know, just from my perspective, because I haven't been in that exact situation. I don't know that I could blame anyone for not wanting to go into that, just like dive in head first.
Yeah. There is a sense of control that I think we all think we have in life.
That's true.
And it can be so intimidating to let go of the little bit of control you think you have.
That is true. That's true. And when you don't know where you're going, I think one of the big advantages of having a relationship with the Father is a lot of times he kind of shows you where you're going. Like, you know, that lamp upon my feet, at least you know where your next step is going. Mm-hmm. But when you're going into something you don't know where it's going, it's hard to give up that control. And it's hard to think, okay, I'll just succumb to the abyss. And I'm not talking like, this is not like end of life. This is not like succumbing to death. That's not what I'm talking about, right? But into that, I don't know, that depth of the unknown. It is a scary thing. And I think this happens probably to more people than we realize. This point that you get to with the Lord where there's surrender that's asked for, or it's the option that's given. And it is sometimes easy to give up things, and sometimes it is absolutely petrifying and it feels impossible. Like giving up that little bit of control might feel completely impossible.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I think in the moment that I, you know, in that moment, it probably would have been the best thing. Like I probably would have moved through what was going on so much faster, but you know, that was like, it wasn't, I don't know that it was possible for me in that moment.
Sure.
And yeah, I think that's something to play with. That's something that I think about. Yeah.
Sure. On the other hand, I think that the Lord knows you well enough to know that that might have been the response, even though he asked, and still put value into the process that you then had to go through, or that you were then subjected to, I suppose. I think a lot of times people think trials like that are God being mean, or God punishing you, or something like that. But I tend to believe pruning isn't always painless, but it is so that you can stay healthy and flourish and produce even more than what you were capable of before. But I don't always think that every single thing is pleasant. You know? And it's hard to talk about that, because I know the love of the Father, and I know how deep and wide it is, and I know how overwhelming and fulfilling it can be. Or I should probably say it is. But I also know there's hard things, and I also know that there's, I don't know, there can really be some fruitfulness out of it, which will be very difficult to see in the, at the time of going through it. I would imagine, I don't know if this is the case, but Josh, I would imagine when you're going through that, it didn't feel like this was going to be fruitful at all. Were you like, can't wait till I get on the other side of this? All the lessons I will have learned.
I mean, I was definitely thinking, I can't wait till I get on the other side of this. I was not thinking, about the lessons I was going to learn. That's, yeah. I did not have the capacity for that. But, you know, in the last episode, we made the comparison of like the body and the things that are going on in the body and the, with the spirit and like the body of Christ and the things that are going on. And I'm just thinking there's so many parallels to this. Like there's so many parallels to like, when we look at the body of Christ right now, depending on your perspective, it might be hard to see, oh, I can't wait till we get on the other side, 'cause there's so many good things that are going to come from this, but there probably is.
Right.
Like there probably is really amazing pieces.
I think absolutely. I'll just go into some of the wacky stuff real quick because that's what we like to do. A few years ago, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago. I got this word from the Lord, which was not all that revelatory, but it felt very special coming from him to me. And he was saying to me, we're coming into a time where he's separating the wheat from the chaff. And I'm like, oh, scripture. Yep. He's like, no, in the church. And that felt different, but also now fast forward this much further along. Absolutely. That's what feels like has been happening. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's been painless for the wheat or the chaff. And I think there's pruning that's happening. And I think there's refining that's happening. And Josh, you like to talk about refining in fire. And that doesn't sound painless to me.
No.
But I am confident that we will get to the other side and be like, wow, that was hard. But look at how much has come from it. Even as a body of Christ is what I mean, you know? Yeah. And I think it's fairly laid out. It's pretty laid out in the scripture about these things, right? It doesn't like, those are kind of the parts that you like to skim over sometimes. I like to skim over sometimes. Maybe I should say that. I like to skim over sometimes because I don't want to be like, oh yeah, suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of, we've talked about this before, that I think one of the disservices that the Western church has done to society is teach it that God wants you to have a comfortable life. And just because it's not really ever promised or demonstrated in the Bible. And most of the time when, like, there's only a handful of people in the Bible that really transfigured. And one of them doesn't really give a lot of context, but one of them was being stoned to death. And so that, you know, it's like, when I think about that, I'm like, oh man, like, was there another path to that for Stephen? Sure. But is that how it happened in his life? Yep. And that's like, that's not a simple thing.
It's not a simple thing. But you know what? I have this theory. I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, about how unique the human condition is in the allowance of suffering, because you look at other beings like angels and I don't know, even the cloud of witnesses, you know what I mean? And that's not a part of their existence. It is like uniquely in the human condition. So it's not before we come to the earth and it's not after we leave the earth. It is only in the time in which you occupy this space. And that's a feeling and that's an experience that you can get nowhere else in eternity. And it's just a really, well, depending on your view of hell, I suppose. It's a really unique time if you can look at it from that perspective, to grow with the Lord in that, because nobody else gets it. And yeah, I don't know. I'll stop there.
Yeah, no, I think that that's you have an opportunity right now to do something that no one else has experienced in with the exact same set of circumstances, with the exact same set of genetics. And I think part of our job on earth is to reconcile things back to their original intent. And part of what you go through is what's necessary to work your genome back to where it was. And I don't know that everyone succeeds. Probably not everyone succeeds in doing that. And so then I think that genome goes to their kids and their kids get to practice and get an attempt at redeeming their genetic line. And that doesn't have to be an easy process. It doesn't have to be fun, but I would think it's pretty rewarding.
I would think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I have a question about the genome. You mentioned it last episode and then you mentioned it again right now. And I wonder, this has to do with the coding of the genome that gets passed to you by your parents, mm-hmm. right? Do those genetics continue to be coded based on the decisions your parents are still making? Or are they set in stone based on the decisions they made up until you were fully formed in your mother's womb? And I think science would say, I bet science would say it's the latter, but I really wonder about the former.
I think it would really depend on what type of science we're talking about.
Okay.
traditional medicine would probably say it has no impact once you're formed. I don't know when that would stop. I don't think
it, or once the cells have combined, yeah, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. However, quantum science would say that no, that for sure has an impact, because like they've done this study with blood and water where they've had it combined, taken it to two separate places, done one thing to one, and it has an impact on the other. And so I certainly think that has an impact. And this just popped into my head, so I'm going to share it. I've not thought this through any more than this right now.
You heard it here first.
But you know how the Bible talks about for the sake of one man, their family will be saved. And it's sort of one of the things that I would say separates Christianity from a lot of other religions, is like you have an opportunity to save your family line because of what you choose, which I don't, I'm not a study of world religions, but I'm not familiar with any of the other ones offering that clause. But that makes me think of what we're talking about. Like, can the choices I currently make impact back to my parents? to my siblings, to my grandparents? Like, where does that, like, where does it stop? Because at some point there's some similar genetics that go a ways away from me. So how, I mean, like, obviously the more that you have a similarity, probably the more there's a connection. But like, that just makes me wonder, like, oh, this is like what we're talking about. Wonder if that is like, I wonder if that verse is hinting towards a similar thing.
That's interesting. You know, I think there's been a lot, I don't hear about it so much anymore. Early on in the mystic movement, there's a lot about epigenetic stuff being cleansed, right? I think people still do it. I just don't hear about it as much.
Sure.
But, and I've seen firsthand the work of others doing that, affecting like my life. So like my sister working on, we're blood sisters, so her working on her bloodline affects me as well. I wonder how far out those effects could be felt. Like if you were working on it, would your first cousin feel it? Would your second cousin once removed, like, reap those benefits? And would they notice a marked difference as well? Like that, it's hard to measure, but I think about this and I think it really is a thing. We talk about the power of blood, or the power of the blood of Jesus all the time in Christianity. But if we think about it in this context, and really redeeming bloodlines in that way, like how far does that go? You know?
Yeah, I don't know, but I think that that's pretty interesting.
It is. I didn't expect this conversation to go here, by the way. Sorry. It really turned.
That's true. It did. And I think it's like, yeah, I think it's amazing that, I don't know. I mean, if you've listened to our podcast for any amount of time, you know that like sometimes we have a plan, but often it gets derailed because we just get into something.
That's true.
But thanks for sticking with us. Thank you for not fighting the tornado and just going for a ride.
There you go. That's a good way to
tie it back, clear back to the beginning.
Circle back. Thanks for joining, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.